afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly call to quarters for muster. And my greetings go all over the world as they do every week, but in particular this week to all of Captain Joe's people who happen to have dropped the hook on either the magical Isle of Vashon or someplace in the Seattle area. And I deliver greetings in particular to them because I have to report that there are still some cats, some kitties available through the piece that we talked about last week, and that you can still, should you move quickly and in a smart and seamanlike fashion, avail yourself of the opportunity to acquire at least one, and if you are really moving along smartly, at least two. Right now, it is also raining smartly here on the magical Isle of Vashon, and I am reminded, and it brings back memories of being up in the captain's chair in making a long transit in the Pacific Ocean headed, let us say, headed to Antarctica in my much-loved icebreaker Northwind. And we would see on the radar scope a rain squall bringing down all that lovely fresh water. And the officer of the deck would come over to the chair and he would say, "Captain, request permission to alter course over to the run the ship through the rain squall, and also request permission to call away flight quarters and to launch both aircraft." And we would launch both aircraft and fly them through the freshwater and get a free freshwater washdown. On the day of Mary's funeral, it was raining, and I took that opportunity to make an analogy between the goodness that comes from even things where people are a little bit uncomfortable physically with the gift that Mary had given us, which was another free freshwater washdown on the day that we buried her, put her in the ground. The medical list today has two sad pieces to it for me personally. The first one is that last week I had put my much-loved sister-in-law, Anne, Mary R.'s older sister, on the binnacle list, and when I got home, it wasn't very long after that that I had a call from Anne's daughter that Anne had indeed crossed her own bar. I'll be going to Reno on Friday for the ceremonies that are connected with that. The second one is that I have known for some time that one of my oldest Coast Guard friends has had a serious joust with cancer, and that cancer is now spread. And so we are all hopeful that with proper treatment that he will continue to be with us for a long, long time. He is particularly significant to me because whenever I mention Stockholm and Sweden, it was through him that Mary R. and I acquired one of the friendships that started with the youth of the person with whom we became a friend, my much-loved friend, Mark, Dr. Mark in Sweden. That it was through his dad that we became friends. And now his dad is needing of all of our support. So it is from the captain's chair that your captain is saying, as I often do, it is my wish, my hope, my desire, and my command that each of you who are on the binnacle list will do all of the things that you're supposed to do so that you do not cross your own bar. I've been watching this Chinese balloon business with a great deal of interest. First of all, because when I graduated the academy and went to my first ship out of the academy, the mission of that ship was to occupy one of the ocean weather stations that the Coast Guard manned in those days. This one was in particular Ocean Station Victor. It was halfway between Honolulu on the Great Circle route from Honolulu to Tokyo, 34 north, 164 east. And several times a day, we would launch in every kind of weather, including typhoon weather. We would launch these enormous weather balloons, and then we would track the weather balloon with the air search radar that was fitted on the ship. The nomenclature for all of you old hand electronics types on ocean stations was an SRB radar. And we would track that balloon. It had a radar reflector dangling off the bottom of it. And we would track that. And from that, we would generate winds aloft. And we would track that thing for 100, 120 miles. It was a remarkable piece of electronics in those days. And then when we would have overflights of aircraft flying between Tokyo and Honolulu or in the other direction, we would provide them with the winds aloft so that they could use that information in their navigation. So I've been shipmates with balloons for data collection for many, many years. When I came back from Vietnam and I became the captain of my much-loved Ingham, the first mission that we accomplished was to go up onto Ocean Station Bravo, which is in the Davis Strait. I leave it to all of you to look up the Davis Strait, and you can see that that is a place where the icebergs come down with great enthusiasm. It was in Davis Strait that the iceberg was spawned that with which Titanic collided. And that was one particularly particularly nasty weather patrol. So I've been shipmates with balloon data collecting balloons for many, many years. Actually, the business of spying goes back to the beginning of time. Read in the Old Testament, and you'll find a number of mentions of spies. Furthermore, the Chinese have been in the business of intelligence collecting for thousands and thousands of years. We should not be surprised that these overflights are happening, but I happen to have a different take on this whole thing. And here it is. It is my belief. This is the year of the rabbit. In the Chinese calendar, this is the year of the rabbit. And I have seen photographs of the teams out in small boats. Most of them look to be rigid hull inflatables, not my favorite kind of boat. And they are wrestling all of the pieces of this thing on the boats. And then apparently they're all going to be taken to the FBI laboratory, or as my Brit friends say, the laboratory, in Quantico, which is also the home of a very large Marine Corps base. Semper Fi to all of my Marine listeners out there and Captain Joe's people. And when they get everything to the Marine Laboratory in Quantico, and they're going to be sorting through all of the things that they find, and what they're going to find nestled inside that balloon is a very large fortune cookie. No malignant equipment collecting all sorts of information, because a balloon is a passive device. It only goes with the whim of the winds. And so there's this big fortune cookie. And somebody, no doubt a 4-star admiral from the United States Navy, or a seaman apprentice from the U.S. Coast Guard, or a fireman apprentice, is going to open that very large fortune cookie, and they're going to take out that little slip of paper. Only it's going to be a very large slip of paper, because it's a fortune cookie that was specially constructed to fit inside that big balloon. And that fortune cookie slip is going to say, Greetings to the President of the United States and the people of the United States of America. From the President of the People's Republic of China and the people of the People's Republic of China. May you have the happiest of years of the rabbit. Now, I am no Pollyanna. I have been around the track a few times, and I recognize that my hope in this regard may not be fulfilled. But I'm also the consummate optimist. I always believe that those on the binnacle list are going to recover and be stronger and better than they were. I always believe that political and operational crises are going to be resolved in a way that are satisfactory to everybody concerned. And with that belief, I also have a belief that even in the smallest of things, like living here on the magical Isle of Vashon, that we can influence insofar as we are able in small ways. And so I believe that that is exactly what the Chinese have done. They sent this over as a greeting because the next thing that is happening in this country is tonight the president is going to deliver the State of the Union address. I urge all of Captain Joe's people to listen. The State of the Union, the report, annual report of the State of the Union is required by our Constitution. It does not have to be held in the chambers of the House of Representatives. And in fact, during World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt, I believe, delivered at least one State of the Union address from the White House. He was, of course, wheelchair bound and was not able to walk. There's some very interesting photographs or non-photographs of him as he's being helped by one or more of his sons to get around. So there's no requirement that it be delivered in a particular place. All the Constitution says is that the president shall deliver to the Congress annually a report on the state of the nation. And that's what we're going to hear tonight. And I urge all of Captain Joe's people to be attentively gathered around the crystal set, the same one around which you gather when you come and listen to me. Not too long ago, and in fact it was just in the last week, we had the first organizational meeting for the low tide celebration that we're going to have here on the magical Isle of Vashon, and this year it's going to be on Sunday, the 4th of June, and it will be judging from the enthusiasm of the people who foregathered, a lovely group of people, some of whom with whom I have worked before, some of whom I met for the first time. And it is going to be a great event. And I'm going to keep talking a little bit about that each week because this is the kind of thing that just appeals to this captain's black heart. It brings children out. It gets them out onto the tide flats. It gets them out there with people who are trained to teach them about the animals that they can see only when the tide is at its lowest. And so we're going to have just a wonderful event, and I am able to say that with a full degree of confidence because I am so impressed with the group of people that got together and started the planning for this wonderful, wonderful event. I was listening to the radio in my motor car yesterday, and they played one of Dvorak's Humoresques, number 7. And it goes, that's the one. And then the announcer went on to proclaim that Justice Douglas, in the late Justice Douglas of the Supreme Court, had put certain words to that. And the words go, "Gentlemen will please refrain from flushing toilets while the train is standing in the station. I love you." And that was because up until we became very conscious of not dumping the effluents from humans on trains right onto the tracks, and now we put them into holding tanks, just as we do in ships, that there was a sign outside the men's head or toilet on trains. And it said that, gentlemen will please refrain from flushing toilets while the train is standing in the station. Where I took issue with this particular announcement was that my father, before Justice Douglas, had taught me that song. My father taught me a couple of things. One thing he taught me was how to sail. I learned how to sail in snipes when I was 11 and 12. Snipes were, and they may still be, an Olympic sailing class. They're a racing class. They are not good trainers. I rolled that particular snipe over with the center board up when I should have had it down, but that's another story for another time. Anyway, my dad taught me how to sail, and he taught me the song about not flushing toilets while the train. It wasn't Justice Douglas, that words to that song. And I suppose that there are places in the world where still you are not supposed to flush the toilets while the train is standing in the station. I render this warning should you ever come across a train someplace in the United States where there are no holding tanks. Which reminds me another important thing about toilets in general, and that is that the toilet paper must always be pulled from the top of the roll and not from the bottom. And the reason for this is that when a ship rolls, and I like to pretend the captain's quarters rolls still, when a ship rolls, if you have the toilet paper feeding from the bottom of the roll as the ship rolls, it will unwind itself and it will end up with toilet paper all over the deck. And the captain of the head, and that is indeed the title of the sailor who is responsible for taking care of that particular head, he is aggrandized with the title captain of the head. And he has all of that to clean up. So I continue to this day to make sure that the toilet paper rolls in captain quarters always feed from the top. It is my wish, my hope, my desire, and certainly my command that all of Captain Joe's people observe this custom, because you never know when your house may start rolling. The Super Bowl is coming up this weekend. It should be no secret to any of you that I don't know who's playing in it. I am not going to be watching it. I am going to be in travel coming back from Reno on that Sunday. But it's noteworthy this year because there's going to be a flyover of three squadrons of Navy aircraft celebrating 50 years of women flyers in the Navy. Probably the Navy waited too long for that to happen. In any case, we are now up on a very important anniversary, 50 years. So if I were interested in the Super Bowl, I would watch it for that particular event, but not for anything else. The uniform of the Beach Patrol has arrived. The box, the parcel arrived a few days ago, and I have to confess that I have not yet opened it. So if the lovely lady who sent it to me is listening today, I am enormously grateful to have the box, and when I get back home, I'm going to open it up. And the next time that I go out to Point Robinson, I'm going to dress our gentleman out there in this uniform and send you some photographs of it. But I haven't opened it yet. I've been a busy Jack Tar. I always used to tell my crews that a busy Jack Tar is a happy Jack Tar, and therefore they were to be incredibly and frabjously happy every single minute of every single day. So I will report back on this particular uniform once I get it open and opened out and have a chance to take a look at it. A real milestone has happened here in the Pacific Northwest, and that is that the last 747 that Boeing will ever build has just been completed, and there's a wonderful photograph of that flying near with the Space Needle as part of the photograph. This one, of course, is a freighter, and it is the last in a line that began back in, I am advised by a former Boeing employee that the first 747 came off the line in either 1968 or 1969, somewhere in there. And I flew in one of the first ones. When I was stationed in San Francisco, I made a trip around to all of the countries that bordered on the Pacific Basin who were partners in the search and rescue business in the Pacific. And I was in charge at that time of one of the large programs that was part of that. And so I made a trip to all of those countries. And the first stop was Tokyo. And I flew in one of the first Pan American 747s, or as it was said in Hawaiian, Pa'a. I flew in Pa'a to Tokyo. And a friend of mine was a top executive with Pa'a. And unbeknownst to me, he converted my government coach ticket to a first class ticket. And I probably shouldn't have accepted it, and I'm confessing right here that I did. I accepted the gift, and I enjoyed it, and it was indeed in one of the first of the 747s. And that was in early 1970s. So all of those years, Boeing has been turning out the 747. There are variants of it all over the world. In fact, Air Force One, the 747, there are two of them, I believe, that are part of the White House fleet. My book today is not The Spare. The Spare is, of course, His Royal Highness Prince Harry's book called, on the cover of this week, of The Week magazine, not this week, is a painting of His Royal Highness. And the caption says, Harry bears all. I will not buy that book. I will not read that book. I will not review that book. You all know my feelings about family. Every family has its own secrets. It has its own. Every person has their own secrets. Every one of us has things that we would rather not have disclosed. So I have nothing but a lack of respect and regard for all of that. I bring that up, however, because the book this week is one which will be of great importance and great interest to many, many of Captain Joe's people. It is the new expanded edition of a book called Country Plumbing, Living with a Septic System. It's by Gary Hardigan. It has an appendix by that wonderful, wonderful septic system expert, Mike Haupt. And the Boston Globe review of this book says, laugh a little as you learn a lot about your backyard septic system. I have a septic system. I am getting ready to laugh a little as I learn a lot as I read the book. And I am recommending it already because I've skimmed through it. It has some wonderful drawings, and it is looks to me as if it is a great description of the system that I know that I have. So that is my book for this week, Country Plumbing, Living with a Septic System. My magazine this week is, in fact, The Week, skipping over all of the garbage in it about the spare. I'm going to the best properties on the market section. And it's called Delightful Properties in the West of England. Now, my part of England that I love so much is East Anglia, the ancient kingdom of East Anglia, and which includes Cambridgeshire and it includes Norfolk. But this one is in the West, and the property that I have selected to buy is in Somerset. Actually, it's in Bath or Bath. And if you have been to the UK and you have not been to Bath, I urge you to buy another ticket and go there. It's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful city. I'm not going to get into the glowing descriptions of some of it, but to tell you that there is a bridge called the Pulteney Bridge in Bath, and there is a house which is right on the bridge. And what is on sale for £775,000 sterling? A first floor flat in a grade two building. I'm not going to go into the grading of historically valuable properties today. A grade two building adjacent to Pulteney Bridge in one of Bath's most prestigious locations. Two beds, family bath, shower room, kitchen, open plan, living and dining room. It is listed by Savills, which is one of the great England-wide real estate companies. It costs £775,000. And if I were going to live in the UK, I would sure go over to Bath and at least look at it, even if I wasn't going to buy it. Because if I were going to buy property in England, it would be somewhere in Cambridgeshire. And that's what I have to say about all of that. The next piece is that a fire broke out on one of those vehicle carriers. This one's interesting to me because it happened off the coast of Vietnam and it happened off of Vung Tau. All of us who have served in either Squadron 1 or Squadron 3 during the Vietnam War, of which I am, as you all know, one, and just reminding you of that, we all know and have probably been to Vung Tau. I have. And so the name of the ship is the Ah Shin. She's under Panamanian registry. She is carrying a number of motor cars, and she caught fire. She has an all-Russian crew. Interesting here that she has an all-Russian crew under Panamanian registry. And so they believe that the fire is under control, but there's still some smoke coming out of her. And connected to that is a notice from the Coast Guard to all operators of motor car carriers like Ah Shin. Don't load water-damaged electric vehicles. Now, my friend Andy, the donor of the Andy phone, owns a Tesla. And I keep telling him that one of the things that could well happen as this Tesla ages is that that lithium-ion battery that is so big and so heavy may well catch on fire. And that's why the Coast Guard is telling operators of motor car carriers, don't load water-damaged electric vehicles because you too may catch on fire. Ah Shin, we don't know what it was that caused her to catch on fire, but if I pick up a piece on that, I will let everybody know. And here we are, once again, at the end of our time together. It is, as always, from your Captain Joe, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And that each of you who is responsible for somebody else, watch their six. Watch that six very carefully. The enemy comes out of the sun and comes down, plummeting down out of the sun. So watch out, up sun. Take care of those for whom you are responsible and accountable. And please, as I am pleading with you, take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, you are not going to be able to take care of those for whom you are there